have announcements for you this morning as we begin this Lenten season. You'll want to study your bulletin to see what you're missing, but I want to share a couple with you. One is daylight savings times next week. Spring forward. Exactly. I think this is the time when we lose sleep. And you want to make sure you spring forward, or otherwise I think you'll end up at church at the wrong time. So we'll know if you're not here and you're somewhere else. But that's all right. You come whenever. I also want to remind you that starting on Wednesday at 2 o'clock, I'll be leading a Lenten study. There is not a book for that study. We're just going to be talking about the Bible story that we have preached, that I just preached on. So that's what we're going to talk about. So sometimes people say to me, I can't go to a Bible study. I don't know enough about the Bible. When I took Portuguese, I didn't know anything about it, but I studied it and I learned. And I want to tell you that you're welcome. Some of you who have been in Bible studies with me already need, no, you don't need a PhD in Bible to come. You just come and we'll have a good discussion. And it's wonderful for me because I get to talk to you all and it'll be great. So I hope you'll come to Bible study on Wednesdays at 2. The Mountain View Board is meeting on Tuesday at 5 p.m. in Fraser Parlor, and you can all come and watch that if you would like to. This is going to be an organizational meeting where they'll elect officers and set their calendar, so you are invited to be a part of that. I'd like to say a word about Purell, or any other brand I'm not advertising. This is hand sanitizer. Some people have been worried. As far as I know, there's nothing that we need to be worried about yet here in Boulder, but you know, not just coronavirus, there's all kinds of other stuff floating around, colds and flu and whatever else might be going on. So the people in the back are making hand gestures. I don't know what they want. So this is here today for communion. We're going to use little cups and little cubes, and everyone who's touching the bread will get Purell'd. So just want you to know we'll do as best we can, but we're still going to have communion and we'll still be together in this space unless somebody tells us we can't be or that it's really dangerous. So this will be up here by my chair should you feel the need for a little squirt of Purell. I want to mention that to you. One last thing. This Lenten season, we're in liturgical year A, and it's the best Lent stories, really good ones, but they're really long. Not today's isn't really long, but some of them have 50 verses, and that can get really long to just read. So moving forward in some of the next weeks of Lent, I'm going to do some different things with the scriptures. And if you would like to be a part of helping, you don't have to ever memorize, but if you'd like to be a part of reading those with the liturgist or different ways that we're going to share those scriptures, would you send me an email this week and I'll put you in the repertoire to do that. I don't know what all of them are going to be, and if I ask you and you don't want to, that's fine, but I think it would be good to have some of those more of a dialogue, some of them more, you know, reader's theater style. So if you've been wanting to use your voice to help us out, please let me know. Let's take a moment to greet each other, but before you get started on that, one more word. You don't have to shake hands. I know our culture is that's what we do. But if you would like to bump an elbow instead, that's fine. If you want to smile and nod, that's great too. And if someone sticks their hand out and you want to not take that hand, it's okay. Right? Can we all agree? It's not rude. It's just right now we want to be safe. So don't feel like you have to stick a head. You know, just smiling and nodding can work just great. So with that in mind, will you please take a moment to greet someone? Let them know you're glad to see them this morning, even if you aren't touching them.
Good morning. If you would all get back to your seats, if you will stay standing, please. Our congregational intro throughout Lent is going to be just as I am without one plea. We'll do one verse each week. We just happen to have 6 weeks in Lent and six verses, so it will work out very nicely. After we're done singing verse one, please stay standing for the prayer of confession and for our opening hymn. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Facing temptation, Jesus refused to turn stones into bread. Facing temptation, we too often turn bread into stones. Facing temptation, Jesus refused to use power for its own sake. Facing temptation, we too often take power that belongs to someone else. Facing temptation, Jesus refused to test the promises of God. Facing temptation, we too often God to do what we should do ourselves. Please remain standing and join me in our opening hymn, Jesus Tempted in the Desert, number 2105 in The Faith We Sing.
Thank you. And if we've got other kids you want to come on up and chat with us for a few, come on up, Jameson. Come on up, buddy. Okay. So you guys, I have a big word for you guys today. Do you know what that big word is? It's temptation. Does anybody know what temptation means? Have you ever heard that word before? Temptation. It's a big one. What do you think it means, Brian? You really want to do something, and even though you probably shouldn't do it, you really want to. That's exactly what temptation is, Brian. Yes, so sometimes there are some things that we really want to do, but we know it's not a good choice. Like maybe we're not always truthful, or maybe a friend has a toy we really, really want, and we take it from them, or we want to take it from them. That's temptation, right? Or maybe your mom or dad made some really yummy-looking cookies or a cake and told you you can't have any, but you just want it so bad. Right? That's temptation. So today in our Bible story, you guys are going to hear later about Jesus being tempted by the devil. Jesus was in the desert and the devil came to him and tried to tempt him 3 different times. And if you guys listen to the service later, you'll get to hear what the devil tried to get Jesus to do. But 3 times, you know what Jesus said? Do you think he could be tempted? No. And do you know why? He told the devil no. It is written. And then he gave reasons why where it was written. So where do you think Jesus knew it was written in? Where did he find those things about not being tempted? In the Bible, that's right. Jesus knew that God had already figured this out for us. God has already told us ways to avoid temptation. And he told the devil that. He said, it is written. You can't trick me. Do you guys think you can use the Bible to keep from being tempted? Yeah, we've talked a lot about how the Bible can be a guide. If we have problems or if we have concerns, we can go to the Bible for some guidance, right? It'll kind of lead us the way, tell us how to do things. Well, the Bible also tells us how to avoid temptations, right? So the Bible's a pretty useful tool. So some of you have already started on our project there in the playground. I've made one here too. It's a heart. It's actually 2 hearts. Eleanor and Addie have theirs here already decorated. And then when you're done with the 2 hearts, you can sew them together with some ribbon like I did, and it creates a pocket. Now, the heart reminds us that we keep God close to us, right? Jesus is in our heart all the time, right? And the pocket can be mindful to tell us what the Bible says. So I wrote on these cards some things the Bible tells me and reminds me of. It tells me to make good choices, right? So when I know I'm being tempted, I know that God's given me some tools to make some good choices. It tells me to be kind and to be loving to others, right? So that's one way it can help me too. And it tells me to do good, right? Do you guys think those are good rules to live by? Are those good rules to keep by your heart? Yeah, and so that way when you get tempted or when you think you might do something that's not the best choice, you can remember Jesus, and you can remember God and what they say in the Bible to keep us on track. Sound good? Okay. Should we say a prayer, you guys? Say, hey, God. Thank you for giving us the Bible. Help us to remember to always read your words. We love you, God. Thanks for loving us.
We come to this time of prayer, this Lenten season, and I would invite you to open your hearts to God. Gracious and loving God, we come this morning. We come looking within, turning towards our own hearts for Lent. As we hear stories and learn lessons, help us to look within and see what is there. In this moment of quiet, let us listen for your voice. listen to our own hearts. We come knowing that Lent can be a difficult time, a time of preparation, but a time of examining who we are and how we have best followed you. Help us to understand in these days how you would have us serve, the things within our own hearts that get in the way of that service. Help us to look at our temptations, those things that get in that way, those things that we know we shouldn't, but we do. We ask this morning that you would be with all in this place who hurt and grieve, who are seeking you. Be with them powerfully so that they would recognize and know your spirit. Be with those of us who can lend a word of support, a prayer of love, a word or a gentle touch. Be with us in this place, God, as we hear stories of Jesus and as we walk with him these 40 days towards the cross. Help us to remember him, his stories, and the prayer he taught us as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to join in the song of faith. Is that right? No. I don't invite you to do that. I invite you. Thanks. Thanks. I'm glad you all know. I invite you to open your hearts to let the gifts that God has given you spill forth as the ushers come forward to receive our gifts and our offerings. pour out your spirit on these gifts and the gift of these days as we journey with Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. The first Lenten story is found in Matthew chapter 4, the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards, he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to be turned into loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone, but by every good word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you really are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'God will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" So the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And the devil said to Jesus, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. The word of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Today is the first Sunday of Lent, and you may have noticed some things are different. We have purple. Purple is the color of Lent. It reminds us of the royalty of Jesus. You may have noticed the doxology was a little different. We had special Lenten words to sing. We changed the order up a little bit and caught me on that one. I found the missing hymn. It's after the sermon, so we'll get there. Things are a little different for Lent. Some of you may be doing things differently in your own lives. One of the traditions around Lent for some people is to give something up for 40 days. And some people cheat by not doing it on Sunday because Sunday doesn't count in the 40 days of Lent. Because every Sunday we are to remember resurrection, every Sunday of the year. So sometimes you may hear a song or a piece of music and you think, that's kind of upbeat for Lent. And the answer is yes. Because in the midst of the darkness and difficult times that can be Lent, we want to remember that the resurrection is coming. So through those 40 days, whether you count Sundays or not, some people give something up. Methodists aren't big on that, but we have adopted that sometimes from the culture around us, and some of you may have done that. I don't encourage it. I don't think that it makes sense to just give something up to make your life hard and difficult. But if you have given something up, what are you going to do with that? For example, say you're a Starbucks fan, and you go there several times a week, and you drop, say, $5 every time. Do the math, whatever that ends up to be for you. So you've given that up. For 40 days, that could be a lot of cash. And the question isn't, are you suffering because you gave up your Starbucks, but what are you going to do with the cash that you just saved by not going to Starbucks? So during Holy Week, you should take that and donate it to a good cause. Because that's the true sacrifice. It's not going to Starbucks. I know a lot of people give up chocolate for Lent. If you did that, how much did you just save? And will you give it someplace that makes a difference? My mother-in-law always gives up chocolate, but this year I sent her a present of chocolate that she has to have every day. So she's not giving up chocolate and she's worried. I said, it'll be okay. What are you going to do with the time that you save if you give up Facebook? That's a big one. I've seen a lot of my friends saying, I'll see you on Easter. I'm giving up Facebook. Good. We should probably all do that sometimes. But if you give up Facebook, or you give up television, or you give up NPR, or you give up whatever it is, what are you going to do with the time you've just gained? Maybe spend it praying. Maybe give that time in service. Or maybe reading scripture, and as Larissa told the kids, that's important to be able to know your scripture. What will you do with the time if you gave up an activity? Because it's not about suffering. It's about doing something that makes a difference. Several of you actually sent me this idea for Lent, and it's about every day giving something up. How many of you have 40 objects in your house you really don't need? Some of you have pared down already, but many of us have 40 things we don't need. Like I have that skirt that someday I'll fit in again. No, I won't. That might be something that someone else could really use. Or some of those things that you've collected over the years and you look at them and you say, who gave me that and why do I have it? Those kinds of things. And so what you do with this exercise is you put a box or a bag near one of the doors, like maybe the door to the garage or the front door or wherever, and every day you put something in there. Now, some of you have read this whole condo thing, and you take something and you thank it for its service. No, this isn't that. You take the thing and you put it in the bag or the box, and you give it to someone who could use it. So during Holy Week, you take that and donate it. Now, both with your time, your money, and your stuff, if you don't know where to give it, let me or somebody else know. There are a lot of people in this church who are involved in lots of good ministries around this town that you could make a difference. I kind of like that one. I'm not doing it because, well, I don't know. I'm just not this year. I'm focusing on scripture for this Lenten season. But that's a good idea, a way of sending something you have, your time, your money, or your stuff, to do some good in this world. And that's a wonderful Lenten practice. Throughout Lent, we stop and we reflect. As you may have figured out from me by now, I'm a person that thinks that the church can make a difference in the world, that we need to be focused out there, and we need to be doing things. And this church is doing a lot of things. And we need to talk about the issues. But during Lent, I don't think that goes away, but we need to turn in sometimes, and Lent is a good time to do that. And we turn in not to stop doing, but to look and see what it is we should be about, to stop and reflect, to spend time looking at our own hearts, to see what's there, to see what God has put in our hearts, not to stop doing, but to just recalibrate a little, to understand what it is we should be about in this world. So we'll do some of that throughout Lent. And might it be hard? Sometimes. But remember, Lent is taking us towards Easter. And the more fully you participate in Lent, the more Easter will mean to you. It might be nice just to go through March and not really worry about it. And then all of a sudden, on April 12th, have that big Easter moment with, we're having brass, right? Brass and choir and all the big organ sounds and all of those things that make Easter, Easter. But you'll feel more, understand more, and get more from Easter if you take the time to be on this Lenten journey. So I encourage you to be on this journey with me. The first story in Lent is the story of Jesus' journey into the wilderness. Some texts say that he's in the desert, but either way, difficult place. And he's there for 40 days. And the story that I read for you explains that to you. And that devil, oh, he is on it. It's amazing that the devil appears here. The devil doesn't actually show up in the Bible that much. Oh, bad things happen in the Bible. And people refer to the devil some, but we don't actually see him that often. But here he is in all his glory. And Jesus hasn't had anything to eat for 40 days. Have you ever had to fast, maybe for a medical procedure or spiritually or whatever that might be? You've fasted, but have you fasted for 40 days? Most of us have never had to do that. Can you imagine how hungry you might be? And the devil shows up and says, hey, Jesus, you've got lots of power. See all those rocks? Why don't you turn them into delicious bread? Wouldn't that be good? I love bread, personally. It'd be hard to not do that if I could. Wow. Why don't you turn these rocks into bread? And then Jesus does just what Larissa told the kids. He quotes scripture. He quotes Deuteronomy and he says, people should not live by bread alone. I'm going to show you, devil, I can quote scripture to stop you. And the devil says, wait a minute, I can quote scripture too. I can quote scripture too. And so the second task he puts before Jesus is he said, let's go up here to the top of the temple, to this high point. Why don't you jump, Jesus? Because the scriptures say, if you jump, the angels will protect you. Let's see it. Let's try it. Your scripture's as good as mine. Let's do it. And Jesus says, I got more scripture for you. And again, in Deuteronomy, it says, you shall not test the Lord your God. So then the devil gives him the third challenge, and he takes him up so he can see all the kingdoms of the world. He can see all of the kingdoms of the world. And of those kingdoms, he says, they can all be yours, Jesus. All you have to do is one little thing, and all the kingdoms will be yours, every one of them. All you have to do is worship me. And Jesus is ready again with scripture. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall bow down and worship only God. And as soon as he says that, the devil's gone and the angels come and take care of Jesus. All because Jesus could quote scripture. Excuse me. All because he knew what to say and do. And probably partially because he was Jesus. But do you know scripture that well? Could you use scripture to fight temptation? Could you understand the Word of God in a way that helps you when temptation comes? I don't mean, can you tell me what chapter and verse every scripture is? Many of us can't do that. I'm not even that good at it. But do you understand the story and message of scripture? I don't know what's getting me. I'll come down here. I think it's the flowers. What? My cup is right there. Oh, thank you, Emily. Oh, thank you, Doug. Thank you, everyone. Sorry. It's just a day. I don't know what's getting me. I know that some of you don't like me to stand here, but I don't know what's getting me, so I'm going to come here. Anyway, where was I? Oh, so can you use scripture to resist the temptations in your life? Things like whatever those may be. And if you don't know chapter and verse, if you don't know the stories, do you know the general message of the Bible, which is that God is love? Do you know that part of scripture? Thank you so much. Do you know that part of things? Can you at least tell that? Now, many of us have never actually seen the devil. We haven't seen the devil, and we haven't had to fight temptation like that. Most of us have not seen that. But many of us have seen demons, and we find them and fight them in many ways. People fight demons all the time. Sometimes they see those demons in the face of an enemy. Sometimes people may find demons at the bottom of a bottle. Or they may find demons in their mental health or other places in their lives. And those demons are real. And people need help to fight them. If you're facing demons and you don't know what to do, call me, see me, talk to me. And the rest of you, pray for people who have those demons in their lives. Help them. Be there. Just be supportive. Some people say, I don't know what to say. You don't have to say anything. Just be present. But most of us don't face those kinds of demons either. Most of our temptations are simpler than that. Those cookies and cakes, those things that we don't want to say yes to, but we can't say no to. Sometimes those temptations are small, but they can change your life. Take a second to think about, do you know those things in your life that are temptations? You don't have to shout them out, but do you know the temptations in your own life? Some people say that temptation leads us to sin. I'm not really keen on that word. I'm not keen on that word because I think it makes us stop listening. It makes us shut down. Some people define sin as our broken relationship with God, and that's helpful. But I see sin in a whole different way today. This past week, I met with someone who helped me understand sin differently. And maybe this helps us as we think about temptation. Maybe sin is being less than God created you to be. Maybe sin is responding in ways that you're not supposed to be. Maybe it's not living up to your potential in that moment. And there's different times in our lives, different things that God would ask of us and request from us. But maybe that's what it's about. And maybe it's not something giant, but something small. And maybe those are difficult. Maybe it's about what goes on in here and how we're responding out there. And maybe that's something we can tackle together. One of the things that I like to read occasionally is C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters. Have any of you read the Screwtape Letters? It's written kind of fun. Someone told me that they just heard a recording of it by John Cleese, so that would be kind of interesting to hear. But it's letters written by the devil to his nephew. His nephew's name is Wormwood. Isn't that great? And Wormwood is sort of an apprentice, learning how to bring souls to hell. And so he writes to his uncle, but his uncle always responds with how to do this. And he said that not to worry about those Christians who are very powerfully in love with God, who pray and sing and worship and remember why they're there, don't worry about them. Because you know what's going to happen. They're going to cool off, says the devil. They're going to become lukewarm. Oh, they'll show up in the pew on Sunday, but that's all they're going to do. And the devil says, don't worry, they'll keep sliding and eventually they'll be ours. And that kind of worries me. That worries me a little, because what happens when I've become lukewarm? And to be honest, there's been a time or two. Oh, I go to church, because you'd start to worry if I didn't show up. But what else is there? Oh, they come, but they don't mean their prayers. They come, but they don't sing the songs meaningfully, or they don't go beyond sitting here. Remember, I asked if any of you would like to help me tell the stories of Lent. That's a way to get involved. And some of you are saying, somebody else will do that. Somebody else. But maybe you could help. Or maybe you look around and you see things that could be happening and you wish somebody would do that. That's being lukewarm. That's saying, I don't know, I'm kind of tired of it all. And that's the kind of thing that the devil writes to his nephew is great, that people start to slide and keep going. And that's scary, but there's good news to be had, because he also writes, but you know there's a problem. Because when those same people wake up again and start to realize and believe that they belong to God, things start to happen around them. When they remember that, of all the scripture, when they remember that they belong to God, good things happen. God grabs them, holds them, and welcomes them in, and gives them strength, and then releases them. Not because they're no longer gods, they still are always God. But they are turned back to be themselves, the true self that God created them to be, with all the personality, all the strengths, all the thoughts, powered by God. And the devil said, forget those folks. We can't get them here. Don't you want to be one of those? One of those people that the devil says, hands off, we can't do anything here. And what would it take for that to happen for you? Well, during this Lenten season, it's a time to reflect on that, to understand who God wants you to be. Looking within is hard and difficult. But if you don't want to be a lukewarm pew sitter, that's what it might take, is a little self-examination. In just a minute, we're going to have communion. And as we come to that time of communion, there'll be some time while you're waiting. Oh, there'll be nice music. And you'll see what people are wearing and all those things that we do on Communion Sunday. But as you come up and as you sit and as you wait, will you do this? Will you ask God, help me? Help me know this Lenten journey, where I should be, what I need to change, what temptations are getting in my way, and how can I move from lukewarm to on fire? Just think about that. Pray about that. And for those of you who are already in an amazing place with God, pray for your sisters and brothers around you, that they would know and understand as they come for communion. We believe that Jesus is present in this table. We believe that Christ is here and that in this time, in this place, we can meet with Christ and we can understand. And I invite you to do that. This table is open to everybody. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church. You don't have to be a certain age. You just have to want to come and to know that Jesus is here ready to lead you on this journey, to help you look within and understand that which God has you be. We remember that night when Jesus took bread and ask God to bless it. Pour out your spirit on this bread, making it be for everyone my body. And he broke the bread and offered it to them and said, eat from this as often as you will in remembrance of me. And we read that after the supper, he had taken the cup. And again, he said, pour out your spirit on this cup and on every person who will partake, to make it be the cup of the new covenant, poured out for each person, that they would know and understand what God has placed upon their heart. Pour out your spirit, God, on this bread, this cup, and each person, that our Lenten journey would be fulfilling, that our Lenten journey would be fruitful. Be with us as we come to your table, God. In preparation for communion, I invite you to join in singing In Remembrance of Me. I would invite those who are serving communion to please come forward. And I would let the rest of you know that we have bread and small cups. So as you come forward, and there is gluten-free on the plates, if you all would Purell. Let us pray. Lord, through these 40 days, remind us of your table, the gift that your Son offered us. Remind us as we leave this table that you walk with us, shine light within our hearts, and desire to make us completely and wholly who we were designed to be. Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able to join in our closing hymn. From this place, ready to journey these 40 days, ready to look within your heart. Go in peace. Amen.